Hello, I want to welcome you to another lesson in the Lead Yourself First program. Lead Yourself First is your personal growth program. My mentor John Maxwell says, successful people think differently than unsuccessful people, and Lead Yourself First is your system to help you develop the thinking skills that are going to help you today and every day. And I wish that someone had shared these kinds of ideas with me years ago. Now, over the years, I discovered that there was more to success than just being good at what I did. Early in my career, I genuinely thought that was the formula. It turns out it's not. And over time, to try and understand why people were getting promoted that I didn't think should get promoted, I began to study and learn. And I wish somebody had helped me with that. Learning ideas about how to connect with people and how to influence people and how to deliver higher and higher value in the conversations, that led me to greater and greater success. And I know it can do the same thing for you. Now, before we dive into today's lesson, I want to encourage you. I always encourage you to do this, but today I want to encourage you even more strongly to be thinking about what can you apply, change, or teach based on our conversation today. We're going to be talking about making a difference in problem solving. And if you can be seen as the problem solver, if you can be seen as the person that the organization turns to when there's an issue, you're going to be in a position to make a difference and be valued and be that person who's the go-to person time and again. So today, I want to encourage you to think about ACT. What can you apply, what can you change, and what can you teach? And remember, I always say this too, teaching is not about getting on a call like this. It's about sharing what you're learning as you are learning it. That's all. Sharing what you're learning as you're learning it. Now, I have been looking forward to today's lesson, and I look forward to it because I know that thinking is the start of creating amazing things. My mentor, Paul Martinelli, says that everything is created twice. Everything is created twice. First, it's created in the mind of the Creator, and then it's created in physical form by the Creator. If you can change your thinking, you can change your results, and that is what excites me about today's lesson. Now, I'm going to be sharing some ideas over the next few minutes with you that can be very helpful with respect to problem solving. This is some of the best information in the world I've been able to find on this topic, and I can't wait to share it with you. As you listen, I want you to encourage you, especially today, take some notes about how to apply it. What can you do with it? If you begin to take an idea from today's conversation and put it into practice, you're going to have great results. And maybe you're going to get so much value from the next few minutes, you're going to want to go deeper. And at the end of the lesson, I'm going to show a way that you can do that. Fair enough? All right. In today's lesson, I want to talk about three things. Three things in today's lesson. First, we control our thinking. We control our thinking. Second, our thinking controls our results. Our thinking controls our results. And three, there's a technique that I'm going to teach you today called the What Problem Are We Trying to Solve technique, and it's going to dramatically improve problem solving for you. So let's think about thinking for a moment. Thinking about thinking, it's a big deal. Animals can't do it. Only people can. So that makes a difference in the way that we live. You have the power to choose what you think about. Emerson said, life consists of what a man thinks about all day long. Life consists of what a man thinks about all day long. Our lives are made up of the thoughts we think. Our thinking is the foundation on which we base our lives. Whatever's happening to you is experienced in your mind, and we have control over what happens in our minds. No one else can control what's happening in our minds. Only we can do that. Our thinking is up to us. And more than that, Earl Nightingale says, we become what we think about all day long. James Allen said, you are today where your thoughts have brought you, and you will be tomorrow where your thoughts take you. Now, this is profound. each of the ideas I've shared, these quotes that I've shared today, could be a separate lesson entirely on its own. We control. We choose what we think about. And that's why thinking about thinking is so important. We have the power to choose what we think, and what we think is going to lead us to our destination. We need to think the right thoughts in order to have the right outcomes. And I know this is kind of out there. This is not super tangible, but it's really important to think about and consider. Henry Ford said, "Whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right." So let me ask you, what do you think about all day long? Are you thinking about problems? Are you thinking about people? Are you thinking about possibilities? You see, those three P's are significant. Do you think about problems? Do you think about people? Or do you think about possibilities? You're the boss. You and you alone control that space between your ears. You and you alone are completely in charge of that. You choose what you're going to do with your thoughts. So choose wisely. John Maxwell says, you only get answers to the questions that you ask. And I think he's right. It sounds pretty basic, right? But let's dig into that for a moment. Most of us don't ask the question that we actually want to know the answer to. And for example, has anybody ever asked you, do you have a watch? Or are you going somewhere? Or are you the driver on that trip? Often, we ask one question when we really want an answer to something completely different. For example, do you have a watch is often really, what time is it? Today, I needed some help from my wife. And did I ask my wife to help me? No. I saw her heading quickly toward the car with a determined look on her face, and I asked her if she was headed somewhere. She said yes. Now, did I ask for her help then? No. I asked, is our teenage son driving you there? Now, what I wanted to know was whether she could communicate with me during her trip. Now, before you judge me and say, that, Tom, you're really kind of a dope. Can't you just be direct and ask for what you want? I'll challenge you to listen to your questions today. What do you want to know? And what are you actually asking? See, that's what John Maxwell is talking about when he says you only get the answer to the question you ask. And asking the right question, it turns out, is a hard thing for all of us. But when we refine our questions, we get sharper answers. The fact is, I often ask the wrong question. But if I ask the wrong question, I get the wrong answer 10 times out of 10. And I'll bet that if you listen to your questions, you'll find the same thing. That when you are totally off track in some area, it will be because you asked the wrong question to begin with. Now, I spent an awful lot of my career working directly with engineers. And I will tell you that engineers always answer the question you ask. And my wife says about me, she says, look, I don't play the literal game. If you don't ask exactly, precisely, specifically the right question, I'm going to give you the wrong answer. She doesn't like that game. But we do that all the time, and sometimes we do it on purpose, and sometimes we do it entirely by accident. And if I ask the wrong question, I get the wrong answer. And more importantly, if I define the problem incorrectly, I may come up with an excellent solution and an elegant solution to the wrong problem entirely. Now, many companies have embraced the idea of asking the right question to solve the problem, and they've seen great success. In fact, there's an entire body of knowledge called lean thinking around how to efficiently and effectively find the right questions to solve the right problems to come up with great solutions. And today I'm going to share with you a technique that can help you get to great results. Amazon.com has been ruthless in efficiency. They are working every day to increase the efficiency of their systems. And they have spent years focusing on customer care and efficiency, and they make it easy to do business with them. And they want to eliminate waste every place they can eliminate waste. And they've long employed consultants on lean thinking to help them. Now, I love this quote from H.L. Mencken. He says, there's always an easy solution to every human problem, neat, plausible, and wrong. And Amazon founder Jeff Bezos tells a story about how they found a problem in a warehouse. They were receiving goods, and then they moved them to the warehouse shelves. And in the process, they often had a big mess on the floor after a shipment arrived, and they put their lean team on it to try and solve that problem. And the team thought about the problem and came up with an efficient solution to the waste problem. And Bezos was really proud of his team and the work that they did in that space. And the next time their lean consultant arrived, Bezos made a point of pointing out what a great job his team had done in coming up with an efficient process to clean up the mess. And the lean consultant looked it over and asked the question, why didn't you redesign the process that created the waste instead of creating a new process to clean up the waste? It's not even that the solution the team came up with was a bad one. But if they had looked at the basic reason for the problem, they could have eliminated the problem altogether. And as I work with teams, I see this all the time. I've got some clients who work in the retail space, and I was talking with a leader just this week about it, and she was telling me how they their management team had been working to address two issues. One issue was making their employees happy by letting them leave earlier, and the other was they were a secondary benefit of that is they lower their labor cost by reducing the number of people who are on the clock. Now, labor cost is a big factor, and it's important to consider as you're making decisions about how to solve the problem. But is that the right problem to solve? Is that the right thing to be focusing on? Is making my team members happy by sending them home, is that the right problem that we're going to be tackling? If we don't ask the right questions, if we don't determine the fundamental issues, how do we find and fix the right problem? And that is where this technique that I'm going to teach you comes into play. This technique is what I call the "what problem are we trying to solve" technique. And let's use the Amazon example. Hey, boss, there's a mess in the warehouse. What problem are we trying to solve? When we unpack the shipments, the shipping boxes are left on the floor, and it's blocking traffic and making a mess. Now, at this point, the Amazon team thought they had defined the problem properly. And they defined one problem, but they had not examined it completely. And I think that happens to all of us. We stop before we get to the core, the root of the problem. You see, Amazon's team said the problem was we need to clean up the boxes from the floor. But was that the real problem? That's not what their lean consultant said. Now, what was the lean consultant doing? He was asking, what problem are we actually trying to solve? And the lean consultant was looking for what's called the root cause, the cause of all the other causes. He could see that if there was a way to redesign the shipping containers in a way that didn't create the waste or the trash, that would be more efficient because the root cause of the problem was the creation of the trash. Without the creation of the trash, there'd be no need to clean up the trash. So what could the team have done to ask the right question? They needed to keep asking, what problem are we actually trying to solve? Now, lean thinkers call this the five whys technique. It means we keep digging until we get to the root of the problem. And sometimes that requires us to ask why four or five times to find the source of the problem to help us come up with the right answer. Now, let's go back to that problem that Amazon had. What if they had continued to ask, what problem are we actually trying to solve? They might have answered, shipping boxes are left on the floor and it's blocking traffic and making a mess the first time. And asking it again, what problem are we actually trying to solve? The mess on the floor. But we're not done yet. Is that the actual problem? The mess is a problem, but what causes the mess? We have to get the products out of the shipping boxes in order to stock the warehouse. So finally we get to the shipping boxes are the source of the mess. Is that the problem we're trying to solve? I think so. How do we eliminate the shipping boxes? If we have this problem in this warehouse, do we also have this problem in other warehouses? Is there any way we could work with the suppliers to redesign this? Now we're having an entirely different conversation. Yeah, we still have a mess on the floor that has to be cleaned up, but if we can find the root cause, it solves a lot of other problems. And we're not talking about the mess on the floor in one place. We keep digging beyond the first apparent problem to find the original problem, because if we find the original problem, we can find a powerful and efficient solution. But let's say you're not one of the largest shipping and receiving companies on the planet. In spite of that, is there an issue like this warehouse waste issue for you? I'll go back to that story I was telling before about this retail manager who's got an issue where the team members want to go home early. Now, when we say, oh, we're going to let people go home early, we really want people to stop whining and complaining, and we want to be able to give them the opportunity to go home. But is that the problem we're trying to solve? Do we want to make our employees happy by sending them home? Well, if that's the case, we just should send everybody home at the beginning of the day. In fact, don't even schedule them to come in. That'd be perfect, because then they wouldn't have to be there at all. But that is not the purpose of the business, right? The purpose of the business is to satisfy the customer need. And fundamentally, does sending people home solve the customer need? Well, at one level it does, because if your labor cost is out of control, you're not profitable, and then you go out of business, and that doesn't meet your customer's need. But if you have customers who are coming in and there are no team members to serve them, you've got a problem. And so you have to think about, what problem are we actually trying to solve? Hey, I want to get my work done so I can get out of here. Well, is that the problem we're trying to solve, the I want to get out of here problem? Maybe it is and maybe it isn't. There are times where, of course, you want to be able to send people home early. You want to help them do whatever's needed. And absolutely, we want to encourage people to work in an efficient way. But is that the root problem to solve? I don't think so. And I think that's what we're talking about. How do we begin to ask the right questions about it? What problem are we actually trying to solve? I was at a glass manufacturing plant recently, and they discovered there was a big puddle of water on the floor in the factory. And it was a safety hazard. The safety team arranged to clean the water up. Problem solved, right? Well, maybe not, because as they were cleaning up the water, one of the leaders asked, how did this happen? And then they asked, are there other places in the factory where we might encounter a similar problem? See, getting it cleaned up is good, but eliminating the source of the water problem is better. And that's how lean thinking can lead to better solutions. Because just cleaning up the mess on the floor of the factory doesn't mean you won't have the same mess all over again. So you're not Amazon, you're not a glass plant, but what about your business? Maybe in this retail business, we've got employees that are saying, hey, I want to go home early, and the managers are saying, hey, I'm going to optimize for letting my team members go home early because that'll make them happy. But are they even asking the right question? And this is why we started this lesson thinking about thinking. We started this journey thinking about thinking because we wanted to have you reframe the problems, asking your managers, how can they think like the owner of the company? How can they think like the person who's trying to make the best decision for the good of the company? And does that change your decision-making process? Now, there are lots of different kinds of problems that need to be addressed. And maybe it's a labor scheduling issue that happens when school schedules change for summer or fall or holidays. Or maybe it's a project workload problem because nobody's coordinating teams across projects, and several projects are coming to the end of the year, and they're going to need the same people over and over again, and that's going to cause a crisis. Or maybe it's a supply issue where your supplier is just not able to meet your needs over and over again. Maybe it's a gossip problem that leads to lots of drama. Maybe it's a team leader who's causing chaos in your organization. Maybe it's dealing with resolving conflicts between leaders in your organization. Whatever you're facing, you can't fix what you don't see. And if you're not asking about what problem are we actually trying to solve, you're not going to get there. You only get answers to the questions you ask. So my question to you is this: what questions are you asking? Now, over the next week or two, I want you to try out the what problem are we trying to solve technique, where you continue to ask that question until you find the source, the root of the issue. Now, we're coming to the end of today's lesson, and it's about time for your personal action plan. Now, I want to walk you through a couple of things we talked about today. First, we talked about how people are different from animals because we control our thinking. We control our thinking. We choose what to think. We can dwell on the positive or the negative. We can learn, we can unlearn, we can relearn. Secondly, we talked about how our thinking controls our results. what we think about, what we believe leads to our actions, and our actions lead to our results. We have far more control over the universe around us than we think. Of course, we're not gods. We don't have the power to control everything in the universe, but we do have the power to control how we react to the things that are going on and how we think about that. We don't have supernatural power, but our thinking is often the thing that holds us back, and that's why choosing our thinking is so important. Now, using the what problem are we trying to solve technique, it's going to dramatically improve your problem solving. And that, again, it's the repeated process of asking, what problem are we trying to solve, with the goal being we want to reach the root problem. So for your action plan, what's your one idea you can apply, change, or teach? Now, maybe you're with your team as you're listening to this, and if you are, I think talking about the problems that you guys are facing and what problems you're trying to solve, but not just the details of the problem, but the actual process you use to identify the problem is going to be important. Now, I mentioned to you at the top of the lesson, you might be interested in learning more or spend some more time on this topic. I've got a group coaching package that can help your team immediately apply these practices. For many years, I worked as a troubleshooter and a problem solver. I was specifically focused on the technology space, but I developed a strong skill set in finding the root cause and really fixing problems for good. I've got a 4-session group coaching package that will help your team develop the skills they need and put into practice real problem-solving skills. The cost is $199 a person. I would love to help you and your team. Sound interesting? Send me an email, tom@brighthillgroup.com. That's tom@brighthillgroup.com, and we'll get it set up. Thanks for being here for today's Lead Yourself First lesson, and I look forward to hearing from you next time.